This program is brought to you by P1 Australia, quality racing components, and manufacturers of engine water heaters for midgets, sprints, wingless, and all types of open-wheel dirt track cars. Check out their full range today at p1australia.com.
Thunder Media.
Hi, I'm Jack LeBrock.
Hi, I'm David Reynolds.
Hi, I'm Chaz Mostert, and you're listening to Inside Supercars.
From the racetracks across Australia, and here's Inside Supercars.
Coming up on this episode of Inside Supercars.
Just topped over 200 machines at the track here, which is quite incredible. It's a big, big number.
Well, that's the whole problem. Our cars are safer than they've ever been. Our roads and infrastructure are as good as, you know, up there, top, some of the best in the world. And our medical intervention is amazing. But our crash rate is actually higher than it's ever been. So that clearly demonstrates that we're having an issue with driver training. And when you've got parents that have got 20 and 30 years of bad habits teaching their kids, and then they expect people to come out the other end as good drivers, it just doesn't work.
So sit back and enjoy as Inside Supercars starting now. Welcome to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock, I'm here. And we're at the Friday of the Australian Grand Prix, Melbourne Park. I'm with Lisa Scaife and Cam Mitchell. And they are here to talk about a program that Lisa, I know, has been involved with for at least 10 or 12 years. I've known her for close to 20-something years. And she's involved in a program aimed at improving the standard of driver training. Is that in a summary?
Yes, basically letting kids actually learn how to drive properly in a safe and controlled environment.
Okay. And yes, she does have the same surname as another bloke we know, called Mark Scaife, who I told her that her brother, in fact, is a bit crook today with the flu. But anyway, so tell us about your background to how you got to where you are now.
I worked in professional motorsport here and abroad for about 20, 25 years. I left Australia to actually get out of motorsport in 1995 and ended up in the UK working for one of the biggest motorsport companies in the world. I spent about 5 years in the UK, came back to Australia, started working with my brother again in motorsport. I started the Australian Motorsport Show in 2003, did that for a few years, and basically all my experience in motorsport, it sort of really led me to, you know, what we're doing now.
Okay, a mother of two sons, now 19 and 16?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
And of course, you are fearful for their training.
Well, I've trained them. They'll be amazing.
Okay. I have one son who I made the mistake in actually putting him in the seat of a Toyota Celica going to Adelaide. And he was 14 at the time, and he ended up crashing it. And not a big crash, but enough to dissuade him. And he has never been, at 36, doesn't want to drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I sort of...
Remind me not to let my sons in with you.
Well, yeah.
No, they're fine. So the boys did a bit of karting and stuff. We've actually still got Scotty McLaughlin's karting trailer and two go-karts sitting in my driveway.
Okay, all right. You'll probably come looking for them someday. Where are they, Lisa? Come on. Okay, let's get back to this mydriveschool.com.
Yeah, so My Drive School is a simulation game to teach kids how to drive online. So what we're looking at is, I mean, obviously simulation is a great tool for training people, but... not scalable and not available to the masses. So we've actually combined simulation technology with gaming and artificial intelligence to create a series of graduated pass-fail learning modules to teach people in a safe and controlled environment that, I mean, our whole market, they're all digital natives. So, you know, this is what they love. The Gen Zs, that's how they learn.
One of the things, of course, is that we know that we now driving around the safest cars have ever been.
Yeah.
There is never a time that the cars have been safer, that you can get and walk out of cars that have been in a big accident, but it's something you shouldn't rely on. You should be actually doing preventative stuff before that.
Well, that's the whole problem. Our cars are safer than they've ever been. Our roads and infrastructure are as good as, you know, up there at the top, some of the best in the world. And our medical intervention is amazing. But our crash rate is actually higher than it's ever ever been. Yeah. So that clearly demonstrates that we're having an issue with driver training. And when you've got parents that have got 20 and 30 years of bad habits teaching their kids, and then they expect people to come out the other end as good drivers, it just doesn't work. The whole system is seriously flawed. The driver training fraternity, there's a lot of cowboys out there that literally all they need is a Cert 3 or 4 in training. They could be the world's worst driver, but they've got a Cert 3 or 4 in training, so they're the ones teaching our kids. You know, and there's no accreditation or compliancy around any of that training or assessment. So our program, we can actually... we actually did a blind randomised test before I launched the program. Did a blind randomised test out at a driver training facility where we got groups of kids, none of which had ever, ever driven a car before. And half of them got in the car and did a 20-minute in-car lesson with professional instructors who actually weren't that keen on the program because they thought I was trying to steal their business. And the other half did drive school first. And the instructors had to rate them all, not knowing who did what when. Our kids came out 48% more competent and 17% less anxious. So then I was sort of happy to launch it. We launched the program at the 2019 Australian Grand Prix, and it went on to win the Australasian Serious Games Congress the same year with the highest score in the history of the event.
Okay. So obviously people can look up mydriveschool.com.
Yep.
And they'll get to it. And what's the first step in order to do that? Obviously go and find it on your computer. I mean, just looking at these stats, 98.5% of parents surveyed want mydriveschool available in its...
So yeah, this was actually quite funny because I did a case study on swimming versus, swimming and drowning versus road safety and driver training. And in 2016, 264 kids aged between 17 and 25 years old died on our roads and 23 drowned. Yet we have 6 years of compulsory swimming lessons in schools and no driver training in high schools.
Yeah.
So after I did that thing, I actually rang Bev Brock because I was like, Laurie Lawrence was instrumental in getting that whole swimming message around. Out there, so I got Bev. Bev gave me his number, and I called Laurie and said, you know, this is what I want to do. What you did for swimming, I want to do this for driver training. What did you do? And he said, oh, I banged my head against a brick wall a lot until I found a politician that listened to me. And that really is what I've been doing for the last 12 years. But we're getting there, we're getting there.
I will note that neither your nose nor forehead is showing the marks of that brick wall, okay?
I feel like there's been a big steel rod out there.
I think the brick wall might actually be more punished than you are, all right? Okay. All right, so, I mean, it's not an altruistic sort of ambition that you know, obviously wanting to keep your own boys alive and many others as well.
Well, boys are killing themselves 4-1 on the road. That's horrendous stats, and you just sort of go, and it's not just the fatalities. Serious injury is actually, so about 1,200 people die per year on our roads in Australia. Over 40,000 are hospitalised, and over 70% of hospitalisations are caused by road-related incidents. And then there's going to be another about 1,200 with lifelong permanent impairments. So, you know, it costs Australia $30 billion a year, road trauma. So that's $82 million per day. And our program, we were in Canberra last year, week before last, and one of the politicians said to me, okay, how much would this cost to get it out to every single 15, 16-year-old in the country? And I said, less than the cost of 1 day of road trauma. I mean, it's an investment, not, you know, not a cost.
Okay, so when people go and look up mydriveschool.com,
yep.
What do they actually find? I mean, do you put your name in there, your school in there?
So we don't actually really go into schools anymore. We used to. We probably work with a lot of other facilitators more now. So we sell to B2B. So we work with employment service providers. We work with disability supports, charities, community groups, schools. You know, they're all our clients. So they actually use the product, you know, So a B2B market as opposed. But anybody can actually buy the program online and go and do it, you know, in their home tomorrow. The program's actually being classified as an assistive technology for specialised driver training. So anybody on the NDIS can actually have the program 100% rebated through their core supports.
Obviously sounds like something that people should all be doing, not just young people.
We're just about to launch our first program is actually designed for people before they actually ever get into a car. Because nobody should have to sit beside somebody in a car that's never driven before. You know, I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. But so our first program is our stage one program for that, to address all those basic in-cabin procedures and just give an understanding of road rules and what to do when. And then our next program will be launched in July this year. And that's actually more about behavioural issues such as texting and driving, drug and alcohol impairment, fatigue, and then training for some other situations that are way too dangerous to train for in real life, like driving with trucks and sharing the road with cycles or trucks or buses. Or, I mean, fatality-wise, trucks are involved in about 20% of fatalities, and of those 20%, over 80% are not the truck driver's fault. And we don't teach people how to drive with trucks. So therein lies a problem in itself. There's so many issues out there. So we're trying to build and develop programs to train people for situations that cannot be trained for in real life.
Okay. Knowing that you come from a background where cars have been part of your life from day one almost.
Yeah.
This is beyond just sort of wanting to... I mean, when you became a mother...
Yeah.
This suddenly kicked into real gear for you.
Maybe it is my maternal instincts coming out. I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, you're right. And I'm seriously passionate about it because I just think there's so many wasted lives out there. And we're doing a shit job of training kids. And it needs to be a whole lot better. We need to... There's so many tools out there available and accessible for them. And we need to be using them. I mean, modern technology. I mean, the way we're doing it now is like... rubbing two sticks together. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're way back. The road safety industry is so behind in the uptake of technology. We developed this, we've developed the program 100% in Australia, which is something I'm really proud of. I didn't want to go out overseas. The only program that's anything like it was actually out of Russia, of all places, and called City Car Driving. And, you know, I wasn't a fan of it at all, on the wrong side of the road, all sorts of things. But there's nothing else like it. There's lots of, you know, Grand Theft Auto and racing things,
yeah.
But nothing about actual road safety and teaching the basics around driving.
Well, Lisa Scaife, thank you very much. I'm very sure that some people will sort of say, wow, I should go and have a look at mydriveschool.com and sign up, because it would appear to be something very worthwhile. And you're very right, I should have actually taken my son on this.
I'm sure he would have liked to go than that more as well.
Yeah, I hadn't realised I'd caused my son until I asked him the question, and he said, I must be so embarrassed for you, Dad, because he's the son of a motoring rider and
At 36 he doesn't drive.
And I go, well, no, I'm not in the slightest embarrassed, because as you well know, I mean, you know, at his age when he said it to me, I was, and then suddenly realising it was my fault for the reason he doesn't want to drive.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, my boys have always wanted to drive, so, you know, they've always been really keen on it. And obviously that's why we bought them carts and stuff, because in case they actually wanted to take it further.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they prefer cricket bats and footballs. It's a whole lot cheaper.
All right. Well, thank you, Elisa Scaife, and much appreciated your description of your program, and I hope to hear that the success is ongoing and that more politicians get behind it.
Thanks, Tony.
The Inside Supercars is produced by Thunder Media. Tune in next time for more. Or lock in the podcast on your iTunes or mobile device. Search Inside Supercars. views expressed on Inside Supercars, including the panellists and guests, do not reflect the views of the network, Thunder Media or Sport Radio. Any publication or rebroadcast of the show without the expressed written permission of Thunder Media is strictly prohibited. Join in the conversation, post your thoughts on our Facebook page, and to ask a question, email insiders@sportradio.com.au.
This program is brought to you by P1 Australia, quality racing components, home of black TI, bolts, kingpins, studs, and torsion stops. Check out their full range today at p1australia.com.